Our parents and grandparents might not have imagined a lot of things about our current eating and drinking habits. A meat and potatoes culture would probably have been surprised by ubiquitous espresso shops and juice bars. But juice is a way to get a lot of nutrients into your body, and today's guest is a major practitioner of making and consuming juices. Robin Asbell is a chef, a cooking teacher, and an author. Her book of recipes, rationales, and photographs is called Juice It! With an exclamation point. Juice It! Energizing blends for today's juicer. Robin Asbell, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
You report that one of your books, I should point out, you have four other books to your credit, including Sweet and Easy Vegan. Have you been a vegan for much of your life?
I have on and off. You know, I'm kind of a flexi-vegan, you know, so I've been a vegetarian since about 1980. So sometimes I'm a little more vegan than other times.
So it's not always sweet and easy for you?
Sometimes.
Got it. This is a very enthusiastic introduction in the front of the book. I mean, you really, the enthusiasm that is suggested by the exclamation point in the title is continued in the introduction of the book. I mean, is juice a big part of your diet?
I love juicing, and I definitely, you know, as time permits, definitely crank out a couple quarts of juice a couple times a week, and definitely, you know, make sure it's a big part of my life, yes.
As time permits, I mean, can it be a little time-consuming to create juices?
Oh, it's, you know, you just kind of have to block out maybe 20 minutes or so. I've been traveling a lot promoting the book and things like that, so I've had to kind of grab my juices on the go.
Can you essentially drink all your nutrients? I mean, is it possible to get all the stuff you need through juicing?
Oh, no. And, I mean, juicing should be part of a balanced diet. You know, I'm not somebody who, I guess there are people who are doing juice fasts, you know, and that is something where you just limit yourself to nothing but juice. And I think that's something you really have to think about carefully and have a good reason for doing that because, you know, you're going to be very hungry, and it is a very limited thing to do for any long period of time.
Is there anything in fruits or vegetables that resists juicing? I mean, are there things that are going to cause some problems for you just in the mechanical aspects of making juices?
Well, each juicer, you know, it's funny. I mean, I wish I could have 10 juicers because each one seems to be a little bit better at different things. Mm-hmm. And so, no, I'd say, you know, most juicers today are very good. You know, today's juicer is very good at most things. Some of the high-powered fast juicers aren't as good at leafy greens, you know, which is something we're all trying to get more of these days.
Some of the science that gets in here, though, about the stuff that's in the things that we're juicing here, you really kind of stopped me short at cucumbers because you have flavonoids, which I've heard of, lignans, triterpenes, phytonutrients. Help us out
mm-hmm.
here.
Yeah, well, you know, we've just been discovering more and more, you know, over probably the last 15 years. I mean, you didn't used to hear about phytonutrients and antioxidants, but we're just finding more and more that there are so many protective things in plants. And that's one of the great things. I put cucumber in my juice a lot because a lot of those special antioxidant, anti-cancer, anti-inflammatory things are in the skin. So, you know, you can throw that cucumber right in there and get all that bonus nutrition. It's really wonderful.
Really? But it's in the skin, though, you say?
Yeah, a lot of the nutrients are, and that's a big difference between making fresh juice and, say, buying juice in the stores. When you make your juice at home, you know, you can put in something like cucumber or, say, apples and leave the skin on because I think 75% of the nutrients in an apple are in the skin, you know. So, and if you've got a juicer that lets some of the fiber through, then you're going to get more of that fiber and that pectin and those things that are really, really helpful for you in the apple.
So in both those cases with the cucumbers and the apples, we're actually removing generally when we're just eating them the parts that that do us the most good perhaps.
True.
Let's talk about juicing and the digestive process. I mean, does juicing sort of help speed it up? Does it shortcut it? I mean, are things happening in juices that help your digestive processes, that augment them?
Yes. Well, the only thing that's really taken out in a juice is the fiber. And while fiber's good, I certainly eat a high-fiber diet already, you know, and so taking a little bit out just means that all those nutrients in the juice are just going to be absorbed almost instantly, you know, as you're going to drink that, and it's just going to be, you get a little bit of a buzz from it, you know, it's just so nourishing and energizing.
And talk us through the acid-alkaline pH balance and where juices can take you on the pH scale.
Well, most plants are, you know, vegetables and fruits are going to be more alkaline, and that helps to balance out because most people eat too many foods that make the body acid, which that includes, you know, meat and sugar and fat. And so you want to have lots and lots of plants in your diet just to balance that out, because otherwise you get a lot of health problems.
All right, so more alkaline. So you're trying to get actually above that 7 on the pH scale?
Right. You want to get that pH balanced out. And also the plants have enzymes and things that are only in raw foods.
And the enzymes are one of the reasons that people really rave about the raw foods and juices. I mean, this actually is an aid to the digestive process, isn't it?
It's true. You know, so many people are taking the little purple pill and, you know, have so many problems with their digestion. And juices not only have enzymes, but they also feed the good bacteria in your gut, which so many people really need to rebuild.
All right, much more to talk about with Robin Asbell. Her book is Juice It, Energizing Blends for Today's Juicers. We haven't even talked about the many recipes in the book yet, divided into several different chapters. You can join us, share some thoughts about the stuff that you make in a juicer. Maybe you've gone down this road yourself. We would like to hear from you. Join our conversation on The Exchange at 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782. Or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Back to talk more about juicing with Robin Asbell and you in a minute 20. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service, I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Robin Asbell, a chef, a cooking teacher, an author. She's written 4 other books, including Sweet and Easy Vegan. Her latest really focuses on juices. It's called Juice It! With an exclamation point, Energizing Blends for Today's Juicers. We're talking about the amount of nutrition you can get from fruits and vegetables, leafy greens, you name it, all that stuff going into the blender or the juicer. And yes, we'll talk about the hardware coming up. Join us on the Exchange. Share your stories. Maybe you've been juicing for a while. Maybe you're asking some questions about how to get started. Either way, your calls are welcome at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782 or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Robin, do you remember your own introduction to juicing? The first time somebody plopped something in your hand and said, here, try this? Or was it not quite like that?
Well, you know, I heard a great deal about juicing. This was, you know, over 20 years ago. I worked in a health food store, and there were people who came in and bought 50-pound bags of organic carrots to juice. And so that was the first I ever heard of it, is there were these people who were juicing carrots like mad. And there was actually a guy who had orange hands because he drank so much carrot juice. And it was something people were doing to either cure cancer or prevent cancer. And so I eventually bought myself a Champion juicer, which I still have. It'll never die. And I got into making carrot and carrot apple and beet and those kinds of juices some time back.
I've often wondered about those 50-pound bags. I mean, how much yield is there actually there in juice?
Gosh, I think a pound of carrots yields about a cup or two.
So it's not too bad a ratio, actually, when you think about it.
Mm. Yeah, and you can use the pulp. You know, I've got recipes up on my website at robinasbell.com for bars and burgers and things you can make with the pulp that are quite delicious.
And the cancer connection with the 50-pound bags of carrots for juicing, any science behind that?
You know, that was just one of those anecdotal things. But I will tell you that then in later years, you know, it's always been something natural healers have recommended. And I then work as a private chef, and I would be hired by people who were being treated for cancer at the very top places in the country, and they would all want to have fresh juices. So it's something that is recommended as a great way for people who are undergoing chemo, especially to absorb all these nutrients and these anti-cancer compounds in a way that's really digestible, because it's so hard for them sometimes just to even eat.
Sure, that makes sense. Let's take a call here. We have Grumpy John in Grants Pass on the line again. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Robin Asbell, the author of Juice It.
I just couldn't help but call back in because I have had juicers. A, they are very expensive. B, it is really time-consuming to get them clean. sea. You lose all that pulp because of the paper filters you've got to throw away. I would like to recommend, and I have no financial, no kickback for
me.
No
stake in this,
But there is a tool called a Cuisinart Smart Stick, and it is basically a little handheld motor with one mixer on the end. You can put your whatever you're going to juice, and there it is. Simple as that. It's easy to clean, and you don't waste all that pulp. I think juicing is a terrible idea because it takes out the pulp, which has your nutrients. And with this, you get yourself a tall glass, stick this in, push the button. You've got juice. It'll even do ice cubes. It's not recommended, but I mean that's the power of this thing. Hold it in your hand. It's about a 16-18 inches long. Disassembles very easily and quickly for cleaning. You save huge amounts of money. You don't have to buy a $300 machine to sit on there and laboriously clean it.
So it's a hand mixer.
It is a handheld mixer. It's essentially, those old milkshake makers that they would stick these tin cups under?
Sure.
That little whizzer sticking down and go vzzz and make you a milkshake? That's sort of like this is. It's handheld. It's simple to clean, and you keep the fiber. There is no reason to have these expensive, filtered, money and nutrient-wasting machines.
All right, Grumpy John.
With your Cuisinart Smart Stick.
And there's also Braun, and there's also KitchenAid. There's a bunch of different brands out there.
Oh, yeah. This just happens to be the one that I was first introduced to, and I just love the heck out of it.
All right, and thanks for the demonstration. That is a great audio demonstration. First of its kind on the Jefferson Exchange, I think.
Yippee-yay. See you, Jeffrey. Thanks very much.
Take care, Grumpy John. So let's get into the machinery then, Robin, because Grumpy John is much happier with his hand mixer than he apparently was with a juicer. But when it comes time to make a choice, what are some of the things that should guide your decision about whether to go for a blender or a juicer or a hand mixer?
Sure. Well, I have a Vitamix, and I also have a couple different models of juicer. And what he's talking about is what we refer to as whole juicing, which is just pureeing food. And so, you might really enjoy just putting a carrot and a bunch of kale into a blender and grinding that up. You know, it's not going to be really super delicious, or it's going to be very thick and very time-consuming to eat, I guess. But there are two different kinds of juicers, basically. There's what's called a high-speed juicer and a slow juicer. And the slow juicer isn't that slow. But the high-speed juicer is like a tiny fine-tooth grater that shreds the food and kicks out the fiber and the pulp. And then the slow juicer actually presses the vegetables, just squishes them so that the juice comes out and then the pulp goes out. And I have a really good one of those that the pulp comes out very dry. It allows you to adjust how much fiber goes into the juice, so your juices are really quite high fiber. And that way you can have a really enjoyable, drinkable, delicious juice. So I really advocate for the slow juicer because, again, it's got that flexibility with the pulp.
All right. So what it really does is just crush the juice out rather than spinning it around.
Right, because some of those fast juicers, you put a bunch of kale in there and it just kind of comes out like confetti and you don't get a bunch of juice out of it, and that's sort of pointless.
And so what about the cleanup, though? Because I've heard this before. In fact, I've seen it in person. The when you get the filters and the collectors, they're trying to get the pulp out of there, it can take quite a while, particularly when something like carrots is involved and everything's orange.
Sure. Well, and I guess I don't mind if my juicer gets a little orange because, as long as it's clean. But the juicers that I have, there's just one little metal screen and it comes with a special brush that you brush it, and that just takes a minute or two, and then everything else pretty much just rinses off. The plastic parts can even go in the dishwasher. So, like I said, I can, if I've got my stuff in the produce drawer, I can make a couple of quarts of juice in about 20 minutes, including cleanup. So I suppose that's a commitment if you're used to opening a bottle of soda. But
right. Okay.
It's far more healthful and nutritious.
So a little more time than making a sandwich, for example, but not a great deal, really.
Right. And you can have this, I'll often make a big batch of juice like that and drink it as my afternoon snack and then save one half of it for the next morning's breakfast.
Robin, you're very clear about not buying your basic off-the-shelf consumer blender. What's the shortfall there?
Well, if you're going to be trying to, say, do that kind of whole juicing with harder products, you're just going to burn it up, you know. And, I mean, you can get a lot of good. I mean, I have a Vitamix. It's really a great blender. And you can get a lot of really great blenders that aren't as expensive as that. So you just want to make sure that you have power for what you're doing. I mean, if you just want to make smoothies, which I also make smoothies. I mean, a smoothie to me is a meal, and a juice is more of a snack or a drink, you know. So I'll make a smoothie like I did this morning with, you know, blueberries and spinach and banana and a little bit of hemp protein powder and that kind of thing. And that was my breakfast. But, you know, I would have then something as a drink from the juicer.
Okay, got it. So one is more like something that'll fill you up. I mean, smoothies do fill you up. Where juices, you're not expecting that kind of effect.
Right, and, you know, so you can drink all this juice and just, you know, just bathe your cells in all this, you know, preventative, anti-cancer, nourishing stuff when, you know, you just can, and you can eat a healthy diet too. You know, it's just extra bonus stuff. It's better than vitamins.
Robin Asbell's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, chef, cooking teacher, and author. She is the author of the book, Juice It, Energizing Blends for Today's Juicers. And we're talking about blenders and juicers and hand mixers. We've obviously been through a lot of the hardware already. More to come on that. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk practice and recipes and maybe some great things you've gotten out of a juicer or a blender or a hand mixer. We're agnostic about the tools here. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Beth in Gold Beach. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Robin Asbell.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hey, I just wanted to follow on Grumpy John's comment. I blend versus juicing. I didn't want to spend $300 on a juicer. I went and bought a Ninja that was on sale at Bi-Mart, and I blend almost every morning. I give myself one day a week where I eat some solid food, but I would disagree with the presenter's comment about blending not being as yummy. It all depends on what you mix. I use some tart cherry juice, a little pineapple and kale, celery, and I add beetroot powder and some other and filtered water. So it doesn't have to be chunky and mushy. I just want people to understand that really you have the option to put whatever healthy options you want into your blending as well and still getting 100% of the benefits of the vegetables and fruits that you put in.
All right. Thanks for that, Beth. Appreciate it. Robin, your thoughts?
Yeah, and actually I have a number of recipes in the book that are for the blender, you know, and so I just, but as because it's a book about juicing, I add some other liquids to it to thin it down to make it more of a drinkable beverage. But sure, you can do anything you want in there. It's just, I think, a little more fun when you're doing green juices and things, you know, to use a juicer.
If you're new to juicing, if you're, for example, picking up your book and saying, hey, you know, I want to try a bunch of stuff, are there any cautions you would give about not throwing everything in the fridge into the blender or the juicer?
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's why I have the recipes. You know, is when I first started juicing, I actually, because I worked in the health food store, I would take home the bruised produce and just juice everything together, and most of my juices tasted awful. And I kind of thought, oh, juicing is terrible, you know. So I had to start juicing more for flavor because, honestly, you know, if stuff doesn't taste good, you're not going to do it, right, and whether it's healthy eating or healthy drinking. So in this case, I would say most of the recipes are designed to be really tasty. There's a balance between things like, say, you know, if you've got a stronger green, then there will be a sweeter thing in there like carrots or apples or something really mild like cucumber. So they're all intended to be really tasty.
All right, so that's an important one. Yeah, I can imagine if you put too many leafy greens in there and not something else to sweeten it, it would probably taste like copper or something.
Yeah, and, you know, you can kind of wean yourself down to where you use fewer and fewer sweet, you know, things with it. But it's just like, especially starting out, you don't want to just, you know, juice straight kale and drink that and say, wow, juice doesn't taste very good, you know.
Let's take another call. We have Jeannie in Medford on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking juicing with Robin Asbell.
Hi, Robin. Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
I'm thinking about three things. The first, the best gift in the 70s to receive or give was a baby not a juicer. It was a little plastic cylinder that was hand-cranked. You could steer, like, steam, carrots, anything. put it in there and make your own baby food, but then you know what's in it. And secondly, about Jack LaLanne. Now, what was that thing he used to sell on late night telecommercials? He lived a long time with Strong. And then about wheatgrass. I grow it for my pet, but I don't. How do I get that into wheat juice like they serve at Carmel Valley Lodge for $5 a shot?
$5? Wow, okay. Thanks for that,
Jeannie.
That's
Jeannie. A
bunch. Yeah, wheatgrass is a really potent, you know, chlorophyll-rich juice. And the slow juicer, or they sell special juices that are just for wheatgrass, but the slow juicer that I have, the Hurum, also will do the wheatgrass and greens and leafy greens. And so, and you're talking about Jack LaLanne. He was really in the forefront of juicing. And it just, a friend of mine called me up who told me he bought a Jack LaLanne juicer on an infomercial years ago and still has it and wanted to get a copy of the book.
It's still holding up after all this time, huh?
Yes.
The juicer,
and so,
yeah.
But yeah, Jack LaLanne and his wife were just paragons of health, and he was really an advocate for this as a way to just get those super concentrated plant nutrients. And, you know, he lived a long time.
So is there any one device, Robin, I mean, when talking about all these different things out there, I mean, is there one device that's really going to do a good job getting the nutrients, the good juices out of all the stuff, or is it going to be different devices for different bits of food?
Well, you know, the thing with the juicer is it does take out the fiber, and so you can either cook with the fiber or put it in your compost. But, you know, there are benefits to that style of juicing, really great benefits. If you just really want to make sure that you've got the whole plant in there and you can get yourself a blender instead. I just personally have both.
All right, let's take another call here. We have Mark in Reading on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Robin Asbell, the author of Juice It.
Yes, good morning. I want to thank you for pointing out that juice should only be a part of one's complete diet. I have a bit of a cautionary tale. A man of my acquaintance in the 1970s went on a fruit juice fast for months and continued working as a tree planter the whole while and was, you know, out there every day plugging trees into the ground and everything, and one day he fell over. And he lived through the experience, lost 3 feet of his intestine, because on the fruit juice fast, he was on it for so long that the fruit juice that he was drinking was just going directly from his stomach into his body and not bypassing his intestinal tract. So it's a good thing that...
So his intestine wasn't getting any use, is what you're saying.
Exactly. And what little was in there rotted away and lost 3 feet of intestine. He ended up dying of an aneurysm some few years later. Whether that was connected with his fruit juice fast or not, I have no idea. But at any rate, thank you for not trying to tell people that drinking juice all the time is the only thing you need to do.
All right. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
No, I'm very much in favor of people eating a balanced diet and being reasonable and, you know, something like that that's really, you know, very, very unbalanced, you know, and so I'm not an advocate for juice fasting. I think it's something that you add to an already healthy diet, and it just, you know, boosts you up even that much more.
Is the juice fast and the juice cleanse, are those terms synonymous?
Yes, and, you know, nowadays, nobody's really, you know, like that when he was saying he went on that for months. I mean, that's really, really unhealthy. So, you know, people might do it for a week, and the ones that they're selling by prescription now, where people subscribe to them by subscription, they actually include cashew, you know, so there's actually a little bit of protein and fat in there. It's not just juice, but I would say a week, maybe 2 weeks. I've seen people go as long as 28 days on a juice fast, but again, I've never done that, and I think most people, it's just a great healthy beverage to add to your life.
How do those people feel after a 28-day juice fast, I wonder?
Well, I've been following someone on Facebook who's doing it, and, you know, he's lost a lot of weight, and he's gone through, you know, the thing about juice fasting is that people will sell you a juice fast and say, you should do this, but in fact, fasting is not really that pleasant. You'll be hungry, you'll get a headache, things will happen with your digestive tract, as with that person where, you know, he didn't have any food going through, so his digestive tract became dysfunctional. That's, again, that was an extreme case that your caller referred to. So yeah, juice fasting, it's, you know, you're going to feel hungry all the time. So it's not necessarily fun. It's something you do to kind of show yourself that you can, and for a clean out, you know, after a period of, you know, eating a lot of heavy food.
Like running a marathon inside your body.
Yeah, something like that.
Robin Esbell's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Her book is Juice It, Energizing Blends for Today's Juicers. We'll come back and talk some more about the recipes and what to do with the pulp, for example. That's all coming up on the Jefferson Exchange. And we'll take your phone calls and emails as well. Back on the Jefferson Exchange with Robin Esbell and you in a minute 25. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Robin Esbell, chef, cooking teacher, and author of several books, including Sweet and Easy Vegan. Her latest is called Juice It, Energizing Blends for Today's Juicers, about some of the great things you can do with juices. And yes, she talks about smoothies as well, but we're primarily talking about juices. And as has been pointed out several times now, as a dietary part of a diet, part of a balanced diet, not just juice as the diet. We were just talking about juice fasts. You can join us here in the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the practices of juicing and some of the recipes and perhaps some of your own experiences. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 around the region. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782, and our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. I got to tell you, Robin, we don't usually get, this is the fair number of calls for a segment on juicing, and you're the recipient of our first ever audio demonstration.
Yeah, we had sound effects.
Grumpy John demonstrating his hand mixer there. Now, we had pointed out that that you in juicers, you end up with the pulp left over, and the pulp can be used for a number of things, but facial masks, really?
Yeah, well, you know, carrots are, there's a whole line of skin products made just from carrots, and you can just mix a little oil in that, and they actually have kind of antibiotic properties that help to heal your skin.
Well, you certainly ease us into the other uses for pulp. Your very first recipe in the book is cocoa pulp muffins. What kinds of pulps can go into those?
Oh, those are just, they're a wonderful muffin. I use carrot or beet, or you can use another sort of fibrous mix like that. You know, if you're doing a blend, you could put in some of the apple pulp or the carrot pulp and that kind of thing. And then I've got a recipe on my website for a walnut and beet pulp burger, which is completely vegan and is really delicious. It just looks sort of almost beefy.
Walnut and beet pulp?
Mm-hmm. And that's a really yummy little burger. It's a great way to use that fiber. And then I've also got some bars up on the website. You can also use it to make a very quick stock. You know, if you've made a vegetable juice, you can just put that in some water and simmer it a little bit and get that last little bit of flavor out of it, you know, to use as vegetable stock.
I noticed that there is a trend in the book that you present early on that you can save the juices and use them for cooking.
Yes, and that's actually very hot right now in some high-end restaurants of making juices to use in cooking. I've also got a website recipe up where I use carrot juice in an Asian-inspired soup that has lemongrass and ginger simmered in with the carrot juice. And then you can also use it to make really intense pan sauce, like say if you juiced a little spinach and basil together and then added that to the pan after you've, say, sautéed a piece of fish. You could get a really intense herbal flavor from that.
Now, and this is a recommendation that you point out for like if you got a little juice left over to use for the cooking sauces. Let's talk about nutrients and time. Is it fairly important to make sure that you do consume the juices pretty close to when you've juiced them so that you're getting the maximum nutrients out? Do they decline pretty quickly?
Yeah, for the reason that you do fresh juicing is to get those things that you need to drink within the first 24 hours, you know, all those enzymes and some of the micronutrients. That said, though, even after 24 hours, a lot of the more resilient things are still going to be in there. You know, if you put that in a jar and close the lid up tightly, you know, there are minerals and vitamins that aren't going to just evaporate, but they're just not as many, you know, it's not as much in the same stuff. You know, and it's natural. It doesn't have preservatives.
And the first chapter of the book is about energizing juices. You know, there's a fair number of pictures. The picture, the photography is wonderful, and a lot of it as well. A fair number of things in glasses that look green. And I'm curious to know, Robin, as long as you've been vegetarian and vegan alternately, did you ever blanch at some of the things that you're putting in a juicer or into a blender when you were fairly new at this?
Did I blanch them as in
cooking? No. Did you blanch yourself? I mean, did anything gross you out?
Did it gross me out? I've made some juices that were not that tasty, I have to admit, especially experimenting with things for the book. You know, and that's, I think, what a lot of first-time juicers do is they'll say, well, I'm just going to put a bunch of healthy green vegetables and maybe, you know, some cilantro. That's a really big one right now is people who want to cleanse their liver and their bloodstream are using cilantro and juice. And if you put too much of that in there, it's really pretty strong.
Yeah. In fact, I know some people who just hate cilantro, which I can't quite figure out. But, you know, it is a strong thing. The for example, there's a lemonade recipe that includes cucumber and spinach, which I'm sure people who prefer their lemonade with just lemons are going to go, huh? But what kinds of flavors do the cucumber and spinach add?
Oh, it's wonderful because, you know, the spinach, I think spinach has, you know, got a nice sort of minerally flavor. And then cucumber is so sort of mild and slippery and cucumbery. And then the lemonade aspect of it is that there's some apple juice for sweetness and then the lemon. And I find that little flavors like lemon and citrus really help to make the juices super appealing, you know, as they kind of give it a little spark.
The recipe for the clementine juice points out when clementines are available, which I guess then brings us to the discussion of if you're sticking organic, and you recommend that people do, organic is going to mean seasonal, isn't it?
Yes, although, you know, we're pretty much getting it year-round. But, yeah, you definitely want to juice what's in season, what's best. Like right now I've got a juice garden, and I feel really cool going out there in the morning because I can just pull kale and beets and carrots and cucumbers right out of the garden, wash them off, and just put them through the juicer.
And how long from ground to juicer?
Oh, you know, minutes. I mean, I'm just stepping out the back door. You know, I've been spotted in my bathrobe out there.
How much, Rob, do you suggest making at any one time? I mean, 8 to 12 ounces, 16 ounces? I mean, you make it for yourself, you make it for others, what?
Yeah, you know, especially, you know, if you're juicing for a family, you can go ahead and make a lot. You know, I do. I will juice up to 2 quarts just for myself and drink 1 quart one day and 1 quart the next day.
All right, some of the recipes that involve green tea say once you've brewed it to chill it, and I'm curious to know how critical temperatures might be in the process of juicing.
Sure. With these fresh raw juices, you wouldn't want to add anything boiling hot to them. But, you know, in that one, it's a whole juice, again, made in the blender where you put the green tea in just to make it more juicy.
Is there a fair amount of science going on behind these processes that we're not quite perceiving? I mean, if some juices need to sit for a while to gain something? I mean, give us some of the science background here.
No, I'd say that most juices, you know, the sooner you drink them, the better. You know, the only things where sometimes they'll recommend is if you're going to put raw garlic in things to let it sit a little bit after you do it. But most of these don't have raw garlic.
All right, so the back end of the science part here is, I mean, can you make juice wrong? Can you hurt yourself in any way? Or is it just you might end up making something that will gross you out like you with the bruised fruit many years ago?
That's right. No, and, you know, again, unless you just go really extreme, you know, and just juice, do nothing but juice, or juice something you're allergic to, or also you should mix it up. You know, you shouldn't be just juicing one thing all the time. So that's kind of what I wanted to help people with in the book. You know, if you were to, you know, I mean, there have actually been people who, like that extreme case, will, say, juice kale or something to such an extreme degree that they can make themselves a little out of balance. But, again, my rule of thumb is if you're getting sick of drinking it, you're probably drinking too much of it.
All right, so don't get yourself in a rut, I guess, is the advice here.
Right, and that's it. It's just mix it up. All these fruits and vegetables are good for you, you know, and so it's much more fun to try different flavors.
Well, you mentioned kale, and in Chapter 2, which is about healing juices, there's a recipe for kale country, which is apparently one of your favorites, but it does come with some specific directions on juicing kale. And is this the stuff that you'd recommend in the slow juicer?
Yes, because, yeah, your green juice, you know, your leafy greens are better in a slow juicer, With the other kind of juicer, you know, you can put it through a couple more times. Or again, you know, you can blend if you want to drink a thicker juice, and that's all fine. So, but yeah, I really love putting that, because I think especially vegetarians and vegans are just really into kale.
What does the kale juice taste like just by itself? I mean, does it have much flavor?
Yes, yeah, it tastes very green.
Best way to put it.
Yeah.
And what are the usual sweeteners you'll put in with those to just kind of balance out the green taste?
Well, like the kale country, yeah, I've balanced that out with carrot and beet. You know, so those are both very earthy, sweet juices that also are just incredibly good for you. You know, actually, I had a piece in the book that we took out because it was too. It was from the 2012 Olympics. The athletes in the 2012 Olympics had gotten a bunch of reports that drinking beet juice actually makes you faster, because it helps to dilate your arteries and veins and helps your circulation. And so it's recommended for improving athletic performance in elite athletes or regular athletes. And it also helps with your blood pressure. So beet juice is good for you.
All right. And then beet juice, I mean, would it taste fairly sweet then?
It does. It does. I think of it as being very sweet. So that's why I put the kale in there. So it's, you know, it's just a really yummy combination.
I don't want to get too graphic here and head for the wrong room in the house outside the kitchen, but, I mean, I have to wonder if you're intaking things like beet juice with very strong colors, you're going to notice some things coming out of you that might surprise you?
There will be a little different tint, yes.
All right, that's enough said on that one.
Yeah.
There's one in here in this in the chapter on healing juices called a hangover fix, which, you know, this is interesting. So what's in there?
You know, the really potent thing that's in there actually is celery. And I can just anecdotally say that I occasionally get migraines, and I had a migraine coming on where I had the actually migraine halo, which is, you know, this rainbow thing that happens before you get a migraine. And I made that juice, and celery helps to dilate the circulatory system in your head, around your brain. And so it is always recommended for headaches. And so I made that juice, and I actually stopped the migraine from coming, which is very difficult to do without drugs. And I would say that so the hangover cure is a really great one for, you know, it soothes your stomach, it re-nourishes you of the things that were lost from your drinking, and it's also good for headaches.
And did it work beyond that one time on preventing a migraine?
Yeah, yeah. And I definitely recommend it for, you know, headaches, because celery juice is really interesting, you know, because it's so much better to use a natural food or a natural cure if it works. You know, yes, if you need to take some ibuprofen, go ahead, or a pill of some kind. But, you know, I also know people who've treated acid reflux with cabbage juice. You know, there's a recipe in there called Tummy Tamer. And cabbage juice is very soothing to your gut. And so there's a combination of cucumber, which is also a great stomach soother, and mint, and cabbage. And that will help to calm that acid reflux so you don't have to take pills.
So flip that around. Are there some ingredients that you recommend using sparingly for digestive reasons?
You know, it sort of depends on what you've been eating. I guess, you know, like she was mentioning wheatgrass. I mean, if you're somebody who eats just a no-fiber, you know, McDonald's burger diet and you go into juicing, you might, you know, have some digestive urgency, but it'll work itself out. You know, your body will, like, adjust and be happy.
Have you run across anything in your experience where somebody suggested to you, hey, try juicing this, and you went, oh, you can't juice that, or vice versa, you said juice that, and they said don't juice that. But, I mean, are there things that are surprising you can get decent juices out of them?
I guess, you know, they all seem pretty juiceable to me. The only thing that I don't juice in the book are, say, like potatoes and sweet potatoes and squash. And a friend of mine told me that she was going to juice pumpkin and make it, actually she was going to make it into a mixed drink. So, but it just seemed like an odd thing to juice, because it doesn't really taste that great in a juice. So
I wonder what the mixed drink was, what the other ingredients were going to be in that.
Oh, it was going to be one of those pumpkin pie daiquiri things. So.
Oh, and did you ever sample of that?
No, no. I'm sure there was a lot of sugar and spice added to it.
Probably. There's a chapter in here on relaxing juices, and which begs the question, are any juices served either hot or at room temperature?
You could have them at room temperature. You know, if you put room temperature produce in there and drink it right away, it's going to be room temperature. The relaxing juices, you know, it's funny because I was saying, well, some of these could be mixers, because I think that juice can also be a part of that part of your life. If you're, you know, if you go into an artisanal fancy cocktail bar, they're making fresh juices, I promise you. And so if you're inclined that way, there's one in there that's called Superfruit Sangria, which is all these wonderful fruits, and then you could put a little bit of red wine in there, you know, and that's also full of antioxidants. So it's just as well to integrate it into that part of your life as well.
I should point out that as you go through the recipes in the book, the Superfruit Sangria indicates there's a tab on each one that says juicer or blender for the best place to make it. Next page beyond the Superfood Sangria is the Sushi Martini. That's the name alone is going to get some people's attention. What's in that?
Cucumber and some different things that would go really well with sushi. So, yeah, and there's a cucumber mojito as well. So there are some different Chipotle Mary. That's always been a super popular one. But, the Sushi Martini has honeydew, cucumber, pear, and lemon, which are Japanese-inspired flavors.
It sounds like just about everything in your kitchen has ended up in the juicer at some point or another, or the blender, anyway.
That's true. That's true. I tried to really expand, you know, again, beyond just carrots.
Well, the book certainly expands horizons. The book is called Juice It, Energizing Blends for Today's Juices. Robin Asbell wrote it. She's been our guest. Robin, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, and, you know, enjoy your juice.
All right, thanks. Coming up tomorrow on the Jefferson Exchange at 8 o'clock, we'll talk about the proposed expansion of marine sanctuaries into waters off Mendocino County. We'll talk about Lightning Awareness Week. It is that this week. And then another food discussion. We'll talk about Josie Baker bread with a guy who was lucky enough to be named Josie Baker and likes bread as well. That's all tomorrow on the Jefferson Exchange. Our producer and today's engineer is Charlotte Duren. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Please join us again tomorrow at 8 for another edition of the Jefferson Exchange here on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio, and have a great day.